Good. Google's pulled the plug in China.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From American Public Media in Los Angeles, good morning. I'm Steve Chiotakis. For internet searchers in China today, a trip to google.cn, the Chinese site, will send you to Google in Hong Kong instead. It's all part of a months-long battle between Google and China over censorship and supposed hacking issues. A Chinese internet regulator today said that Google's decision violated a written promise to the Chinese government. Meanwhile, Google is in another battle, a legal one over in Europe, a battle over brand names. The search engine was sued for trademark infringement by the luxury goods maker Louis Vuitton. But Europe's top court today ruled in Google's favor. Marketplace's Europe correspondent Stephen Beard is with us live from London with the latest. Hi, Stephen.
Hello, Steve.
Louis Vuitton makes purses and handbags. Why is that company mad at Google's search engine?
This is all about Google's AdWords service. You know how this works. You put certain keywords into the search box, and it'll bring up not only a list of links, but also on the right-hand side of the screen some relevant advertising.
Right, right.
Now, the advertisers pay Google a fee for that. For example, you put in the word or the words Louis Vuitton. That'll bring up ads about companies supplying Louis Vuitton products. But the owner of Louis Vuitton objected to that. They say Google's making money out of their brand and infringing their trademark, and they complain sometimes these advertisers are selling counterfeit products.
But the Court of Justice in Europe just ruled that it said Google isn't violating those trademarks, right?
Yes, it was a preliminary ruling, but the court says that Google is not breaking EU trademark law. This must be a considerable relief, one imagines, for the company. Google won't say how much cash it makes from the AdWords service, but it's likely to be a substantial chunk of the $23 billion or so that it makes from advertising.
You said preliminary ruling. Is this the end of the matter, Stephen?
No, this will now go to national courts across Europe. I think all we can say is round one to Google.
All right. Marketplace Europe correspondent Stephen Beard reporting from London. Stephen, thanks.
Okay, Steve.
Let's check the numbers. Markets in Europe are higher right now, more than 0.5%. And Asia shares were mixed today. The Nikkei tumbled by 0.5%. Wall Street yesterday, some gains, particularly in health and medical stocks, even after a contentious congressional health care debate. The Dow gained about 43 points. It closed at 10,785. Today, the Treasury Secretary Tim Geithner goes before Congress to reiterate the housing recovery remains very, very fragile. It all comes at a time the House Financial Services Committee asks, should the government even be in the business of promoting home ownership? Marketplace's Nancy Marshall Genzer takes a look.
For years, the government's mantra was, everybody should own a home. So what should the government do now?
I don't think it should be the government's goal to make everyone a homeowner.
Vincent O'Donnell is with the Local Initiative Support Corporation, which focuses on community development.
Some people don't have the means to be owners or the temperament, and the government should not be pushing them in one direction or the other.
Freddie Mac and Fannie Mae are a big part of the government's home ownership strategy. They buy up mortgages, giving banks more money to lend. Former investment banker Doug Elliott is now at the Brookings Institution. He thinks Fannie and Freddie fed the housing bubble by buying up so many shaky loans.
They had $5 trillion of mortgage risk of various kinds.
Elliott says he thinks Fannie and Freddie should be abolished so they don't feed another housing bubble. That's one option to be considered at today's hearing. In Washington, I'm Nancy Marshall Genzer for Marketplace. Marketplace Morning Report is supported by the new Harvard Business Review, a source of smart thinking for today's business world. The revival of smart begins at hbr.org. By Monsanto, committed to sustainable agriculture and creating hybrid and biotech seeds designed to increase crop yields and conserve natural resources. More at producemoreconservemore.com. And by MassMutual, for 158 years providing policyholders with solutions to help meet their financial goals at massmutual.com.
States are going to have to pay nearly $3 trillion in public pension benefits in the coming decades. And while many of those states are on track to handle the hefty bills, a handful, such as Illinois, are in big trouble. Reporter Jay Field has more.
Illinois budget analyst Lawrence Massal has this bad news to share. The state has not been funding its promises to its employees and its retirees, and instead has either borrowed or just skipped payments.
Using the pension money to cover essential services like education without having to jack taxes. That's left the state retirement system nearly $80 billion in debt, the largest unfunded pension liability in the nation.
And that is why we're calling for very significant reform of the pension system in Illinois.
For one thing, Illinois plans to reduce benefits for new lawmakers and judges, but Massal says there's something else Illinois can do. It can adopt a model for a well-run pension fund that is headquartered right here, west of Chicago, in the city of Oak Brook. Louis Kosiba runs the Illinois Municipal Retirement Fund for city workers, from librarians to trash collectors. Last year, it earned a 25% return.
In 1994, I ran a Chicago Marathon, and that is probably the most physically demanding thing I did until I climbed to the top of Mount Kilimanjaro.
Summiting Kilimanjaro is something people have to do slowly. Kosiba says he's worked at the fund the same way.
Analyzing the risk that you take, it means having a broadly diversified portfolio.
And the fund has one other big reason for its success. The state legislature gave its Board of Trustees special power to force municipalities to pay into the fund even when they're broke. When Illinois lawmakers set up state pension plans decades ago, they saw no reason to do the same. They figured the state would always make good, but it hasn't. And now reformers say it should adopt the same rule the municipal fund did to break the cycle of shirking and borrowing. In Oak Brook, Illinois, I'm Jay Field for Marketplace.
And finally, the frail economic recovery is gnawing away at old eating habits. In Argentina, a lot of landlubbers are giving up expensive beef for fish. See, the Argentine president, Cristina Fernandez, has announced a new government food program, sending a bunch of trucks with pounds and pounds of cheap haddock for half of what it would cost at the store. Some of Fernandez's political foes say she's buying votes. And it stinks. I'm Steve Chiatakis in Los Angeles. This is the Marketplace Morning Report.
American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.